So solar eclipses in general are, I mean, they're not that rare. A partial solar eclipse you might see every few years. A total solar eclipse, however, is extraordinarily rare for any given point on Earth. So let me actually put this two different ways. A total eclipse occurs about once every 18 months somewhere on Earth, but it only is a very small portion of the Earth that sees it. So if you want to wait for an eclipse to come to you, you're probably going to wait a very long time. In fact, the next total eclipse to cross Boulder will be in the year 2772, 700 years from now. So what makes the one this year so important, though, is it's the first one in 99 years to cross the United States from coast to coast.
Are research organizations and agencies planning to study this particular event?
Absolutely. So NASA, the National Solar Observatory, which is here in Boulder, folks at NCAR are getting involved. So back in the 19th century, total eclipses were extraordinarily important to science. And that's why, so my book is about a total eclipse that crossed this region in 1878. And back then, whenever a total eclipse crossed any part of the Earth, scientists would head off to the path of totality to conduct their studies in those literally 3 minutes of midday darkness to try to answer very basic questions about the sun. What is it made of? Why does it shine? We know a lot more today than they knew back in the 19th century, but there are still some important questions to answer that total eclipses can help to answer. And one of the biggest questions has to do with the sun's atmosphere. So during a total eclipse, again, it won't be true here in Boulder, but if you get yourself up to Wyoming or Nebraska in the path of the total eclipse, during totality, the main thing you will see is the solar corona. It looks like this beautiful aura around the black moon, and that is the sun's outer atmosphere. And it is extraordinarily hot. It is over 1,000,000 degrees. And why it's so hot is a mystery. The surface of the sun is only thousands of degrees. Why is the atmosphere so much hotter? And just generally how the solar corona evolves and throws off particles into space that affect us here on Earth in terms of our electronic equipment and our satellites. Some of the fine-tuning of that understanding hopefully will be moved forward during the eclipse. There'll be a lot of attempts to, during those 3 minutes, or actually only 2.5 minutes for this eclipse, there'll be a lot of studies of the solar corona.
And not all eclipse viewing glasses are created equal. And Amazon has warned that even some of their glasses sold and by other vendors as well may be defective. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, unfortunately, there's a lot of confusion and fear right now for people who bought their eclipse glasses, particularly from Amazon. And so let me say a few things. So my understanding is there are some cheap knockoffs that made it onto the market. And obviously, if you have those, you could damage your eyes. However, I've also heard that Amazon has gone a little overboard to be careful, and they've actually cautioned some people that they can't guarantee that your glasses are safe, when in fact your glasses may be safe. So let me mention a few things. One way to tell if your glasses are definitely not safe is if you hold them up to your eyes just today and try to look around the house or look at a light bulb a few feet away, if you can see anything, then they are unsafe. The only thing you should see through eclipse glasses, frankly, is the sun. Now, if you hold your glasses up right next to a light bulb, you might see the filament in there. But again, if you can hold them up and look around the house and see your hand in front of your face, they're definitely not safe. Now, I can't guarantee they are safe if they're really dark. But another thing you might do is go to the American Astronomical Society's eclipse page. And if you just put it into Google, you'll find it. They have a whole website about the eclipse, but they have a page about eye safety. And they have a list of approved vendors where they will tell you which vendors, which manufacturers they believe are safe. And so obviously someone could have manufactured them and printed, lied about where they came from. But if where you got them from and where the manufacturer is on the list of approved vendors and the only thing you can see through them is the sun, then I think you can be pretty sure they're safe.
And hopefully people can get their hands on those considering they're in such high demand right now.
Yeah, they are apparently very hard to get. You also could get, although these are hard to find too, welder's glass of the very darkest shade, number 14 welder's glass. is also safe. So if you can find that. But again, the very darkest shade of welder's glass, lighter shades are not safe.
What kind of damage can you do to your eyes if you're using improper eyewear?
I mean, you can basically cook the back of your eye because, you know, think about taking a magnifying glass out in the sun and holding it over a leaf, right? You can light the leaf on fire by concentrating the rays, and that's the lens of your eye focuses rays on the back of your eye. There's nothing inherently dangerous about the sun during an eclipse. On any day, it is unsafe to gaze at the sun. It's just on a normal day, you wouldn't even think of staring at the sun. When the sun is a really thin crescent, you might feel like you want to actually look at the sun. But as long as any portion of the sun is still uncovered by the moon, it's just as bright, that portion, as on any other day. And so you can, like, basically burn a little crescent in the back of your eye. And you wouldn't feel it. There are no pain receptors there. But you can cause damage that will take a while to heal or even be permanent. But that shouldn't scare people away from enjoying the eclipse. If you have safe eclipse glasses, you should look at it. And if you get yourself to the path of totality, for the 2.5 minutes when it's a total eclipse, you actually can look at the sun with the naked eye. That is the only time that it's safe.
And what about people who want to take pictures of the event with their phones?
Well, my strong advice is if you go to see the total eclipse, don't take pictures. Not because you're going to damage your phone, but because you're just wasting precious seconds. A total eclipse is just such a rare and awe-inspiring experience. I say, take it in with all your senses and don't have it so that your memory of it is what you saw on the screen of your phone. And frankly, the pictures on your phone are not going to be all that remarkable. And this is going to be the most photographed solar eclipse ever in history. NASA is going to be taking beautiful pictures and putting them up on the web. So let NASA do the work. Just enjoy it.
So tell us a little bit about how this particular eclipse is different from the last major eclipse of this type.
Well, so it's been, you know, we had a partial eclipse that came over Boulder a few years ago. I'm forgetting the year. And I went up Flagstaff and looked west and was able to see it with eclipse glasses. And that was fun. But again, there is a fundamental difference between a partial eclipse and a total eclipse. So here in Boulder, what did I say? We're going to have like a 93% partial eclipse coming up on Monday. And you would think a 93% partial eclipse is 93% as good as a total eclipse, or, you know, 50% as good. And honestly, even a very deep partial eclipse, a 90% partial eclipse is not 1% as good as a total eclipse. It's not 0.1% as good. It's not 0.01% as good, and I'm not exaggerating. Because in a total eclipse, daylight drops by a factor of a million. Here in Boulder, daylight will drop by maybe a factor of 10 or 12 on Monday. If no one told you there was an eclipse going on, you probably wouldn't notice it. The main thing you'll notice at the peak of the eclipse here in Boulder is if it's sunny and you look under trees, and you should do that, you'll see that little crescents all over the ground, because the spaces between the leaves will act as pinhole projectors, and they'll project an image of the crescent sun on the ground. So at the peak, around 11:30 in the morning, definitely look under trees. But other than that, it's still going to seem like a sunny day. You have to get into the path of the total eclipse to really experience what's so dramatic.
And how is society's response to eclipse changed throughout history, both here in the United States, but also worldwide?
Well, clearly in ancient times, when eclipses could not be predicted and when people didn't know what was going on, they were a great source of fear, understandably. I mean, for it to go dark in the middle of the day. And in ancient China, the belief was that it was a dragon devouring the sun. And so people would come out with their pots and pans and bang on them and bang on gongs to try to scare the dragon off. All in medieval Europe, an eclipse of any sort, solar or lunar, was often seen as a bad omen for the king. And in fact, in the year 840 AD in France, the Holy Roman Emperor, a guy named Louis the Pious, there was a total eclipse that went overhead, and he he was afraid it was a bad omen for him, and it became a self-fulfilling prophecy. He got so anxious, he stopped eating, and he died a month later. And it plunged Europe into civil war. And it was among his three sons who fought over his territory. And that's what divided Europe into what became Germany and France and Italy. So total eclipses have changed history. They are that dramatic. But by the 19th century, so the total eclipse that I write about in my book, American Eclipse, from 1878, the eclipse experience was very much like today. In 1878, scientists knew the eclipse was coming. They mapped the path of totality right from Montana territory down to Texas over Boulder and Denver. People were excited about it. The newspapers were filled with news. There were newsboys selling eclipse glasses on street corners. Now, back then, what they used was glass that was smoked over a flame, so it got really dark. We would not consider that safe by today's standards. But there were tourists who came out here. The eclipse experience, certainly for the last 150 years, has been very similar. And that's part of what I really enjoy about eclipses and what I enjoyed about writing my book is there's a way in which eclipses, these rare and remarkable events, I think connect us with history because it makes you think about the people in the past and how they reacted when they saw this same bizarre sky. And you also can look toward the future. I mean, NASA has predicted eclipses going out 3,000 years from now, to the day, to the second. And so we can imagine the people in the year 2772. If Boulder's still here, it's actually the date is July 22nd, 2772. A total eclipse will pass right over Boulder. So let's hope there are people here to enjoy it.
And the U.S. is incredibly excited about this eclipse. It's fair, I think, to call it eclipse madness right now. So are you surprised by the level of response that you're seeing from people about this particular eclipse and how excited they are?
I am not surprised in the least. I mean, for the last 19 years since I saw my first total eclipse, I have known what a big deal this eclipse would be. I mean, I and other eclipse chasers like me have been looking forward to August 21st, 2017 for a very long time. And having seen five total solar eclipses in various parts of the world, it's always this way. I mean, in 1999, there was a total eclipse that crossed right over Europe, and Europe went eclipse crazy. I mean, there were eclipse traffic jams everywhere, and the Pope took some time out to see the eclipse, and, hotel rooms were you couldn't find them anywhere. So it was obvious it was going to be this way. It's just, the general public doesn't usually really wake up to what's going on until about 3 weeks in advance. And so it's gotten crazy and it's going to get even crazier between now and Monday.
Tell me a little bit about this eclipse app and how it works and some of the other eclipse apps that might be out there.
Yeah, so there are several free eclipse apps that you can get for your smartphone, and they're useful. One is actually developed by a Boulderite, and I like it very much. It's called Totality by Big Kid Science. And I have it on my iPhone, but I believe it's also available for Android. And it's great because you can open it up, and it has a map. It'll tell you, you can either have it find your location using a GPS, or you can just, point to and tap on a certain part of the map, and it'll tell you precisely when the eclipse will start and end at that location, and how much of an eclipse it'll be, if it'll be total or partial. And it's got other information as well about how to view it. So I like that one very much. There's one called Eclipse Safari. Another one's been put out by the Smithsonian called Solar Eclipse, and they all do similar things, yeah.
So do you think that this eclipse has spurred an interest in our natural world? I mean, we'd hope so, right? But have you noticed that maybe this might be something that continues with individuals that are so in awe of what they see on Monday?
There's no question that it will, because very, very few Americans have had the opportunity to see a total solar eclipse. It's been 38 years since a total eclipse was seen anywhere in the continental United States, and that was just in the Pacific Northwest, and 99 years since one crossed the country coast to coast. So unless you're, more than 38 years old and happen to be in the Pacific Northwest, or you've traveled overseas to see one, you haven't seen one. And until you see one, you don't understand just how remarkable and mind-blowing it is. And there will be millions of people who will get to see this total eclipse. And I tell you, some significant portion will become hooked, like I am, and want to see them again. And some significant portion of kids will be really jazzed about becoming scientists. I've been on a book tour for the last couple months. And at the end of a talk I gave in Philadelphia, and I always begin my talks by describing my first total eclipse, which was in Aruba in 1998. And after my talk at the Free Library of Philadelphia, a young man in his 20s came up to me and he said that, you know, he was a child growing up in Venezuela in 1998. And he saw that same total eclipse that I saw in Aruba, because the path of totality also went over Venezuela. And he said that experience inspired him to become a scientist. And he's now a physicist working in Philadelphia. I mean, and so there, I'm sure there are many cases like that. And there will be many more on Monday.
I can't help but wonder, considering the political climate right now and kind of the discourse we've seen around science, as well as backing for certain environmental agencies and discussion about NASA's budget and those sorts of things, if this particular eclipse could have an effect on that.
I think it could. And so the eclipse that I write about in my book, which occurred in 1878, was really important in bringing Americans together around science. I mean, back in 1878, we didn't have any reputation, frankly, as a scientific nation. But that eclipse helped inspire, get the American public excited about science. And we decided as a nation, we wanted to fund science and take on Europe as a scientific power. And I think that the eclipse this year could have a similar effect, because now, obviously, we have been the clear global leader in science for a good long time, but the fear now is that we're losing that edge. And there is a feeling that there's a growing anti-science sentiment out there. I think this could help turn it around. I don't know that it's going to suddenly change everything, but you can't help but just marvel at the natural world and want to understand it. And when you can see the sun during totality with the naked eye and see what a fascinatingly beautiful object it is in the sky, it really makes you just want to understand the solar system and the universe more. So I think it could help inspire us to get excited about science again, sort of like the moon landing did back in the 1960s.
So this is being called the Great American Eclipse by many, but does it have any relevance to the rest of the world? I mean, is this something that other countries should be paying attention to also?
So the eclipse will be visible as a partial eclipse across all of North America. So it'll be a partial eclipse in Mexico and Canada. Even parts of Europe will see a tiny little partial eclipse briefly. But the total eclipse is visible only in the United States. And so it is being called the Great American Eclipse for various reasons. Again, the first time in 99 years that one has crossed the entire breadth of the continental United States. But this actually is the first total eclipse since our nation's founding that crosses the United States and only the United States. So in 1918, there was one that crossed the United States from coast to coast, but then it also went over the Bahamas. So they got it too. But this one is only ours. So in that way, again, a partial eclipse is interesting. And for those who are here in Boulder on Monday, enjoy it. It will be great fun. But a total eclipse is a million times more exciting. So that's where people are really concentrating on, is the path of the total eclipse from Oregon to South Carolina.
As the expert, anything else that you would like to add or any misconceptions that you'd like to clear up that maybe we haven't discussed?
Well, so, I've already mentioned, of course, that even a deep partial eclipse is just nothing compared with totality. And so even though it's only a few days away and Wyoming and Nebraska are just going to be mobbed with people, if you can get up there, get up there. It's worth it. You'll need to leave really, really, really early. I mean, I'm advising friends who say they just can't get up there the night before. I mean, I'm hit the road at 2 a.m. I mean, I know it sounds crazy. And maybe if you left at 4 a.m, you'd still get up there in time, but you don't want to miss it. And if there's anything that's worth giving up a good night's sleep and, taking your kids out of school, this is it, because it's going to, you know, total eclipses are so, so rare. Now, I will say, if you miss the one this year, we're actually quite lucky that another total solar eclipse is coming to the United States not too long from now, 7 years from now, in 2024. The path of totality that year will go from Texas to Maine. So it'll be the one this year is not too far from us. That one will be a longer drive. But if you miss it this year, put it on your calendar, April 8th, 2024. it's a Monday again, so make sure you get the day off. But if you miss that one, the next one to cross Colorado, not Boulder, but south of us, will be in 2045. So when you chase eclipses, you think on a whole different time scale. I'm already thinking about August 12th, 2045, another Monday, and looking forward to a total eclipse coming across Colorado.